بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبركاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we know from human nature and human characteristics that we were created as a people who need to emulate and imitate. From our very youth and adolescence, we see that children grow up imitating their parents. When the parent speaks, the child will repeat after them. And likewise, as we get older and we get into our teenage years, we get into sports and we try to imitate the athletes that play that particular sport. How many times do we see children wearing the jerseys of basketball players and football players? How many times do we see the kids of the Muslim Ummah singing the songs of the singers, wa na'udhu billah. From this we testify and we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as beings who always copy others. Now, for the believers, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in such a manner, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not created for us an ideal example? Of course He did. And that is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have an ideal example? Now, who is this ideal example for? We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all of mankind. His risala, his message, it was for all of mankind, from the first of them to the last of them, from the evil of them to the good of them. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is specifically for one group of individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in that ayah, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That this example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this great attitude and exemplary character and person that we see from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for the believers. It's for those people who hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who want to show up on Yawm al-Qiyamah with their good deeds in front of them and their evil deeds forgiven. And those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Now, brothers and sisters, after we see this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He tells us in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great example, then why is it we shy away from learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life, the history, and the biography of the greatest individual ever to have lived on this planet? Why is it we turn away and we shy away from learning it? Are we not of those people, and do we not want to be from those people who want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and want to step forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah as successful individuals? And do we not want to be from those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much? Indeed we do. So why is it we turn away from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So brothers and sisters, this is our topic for today: the importance of learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So firstly, the first reason why we need to learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us of his great example, is increasing our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين, that none of you will believe until I am more beloved to him, more than his father, more than his child, and more than all of mankind altogether. From iman is loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the only way you will increase your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by getting to know who he was. Now let us just take one primary example. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, when we show up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are all in a state of anxiety, all of us are fearing, I didn't do enough good deeds in this dunya, and I committed too many sins. So each and every one of us is saying, nafsi, nafsi, that, you know, myself, myself, I will worry about my own. But now this individual, the best of mankind, and indeed, just like he was the best of mankind in this dunya, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah he will be the best of mankind as well, as he will be saying, Ya Ummati, Ya Ummati. Now, after you imagine this, that the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crying and weeping and trying to find someone who will intercede on their behalf. They're trying to find someone who will step forward in front of them, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who will be that individual? It will be none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a man who will intercede for you in front of your Lord, a man who will try to have you forgiven, a man who will try to have your adab in the nar lessened, a man who will try to raise your rank in Jannah. Does this not increase your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Just with this point alone, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should shoot out of the skies. Our hearts should be bursting with love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let alone all the other hardships that he faced, let alone all the adversities and trials that he faced in this dunya trying to protect Islam. Trying to protect Islam so that 1440 years later we could be living it today. We live in freedom. We live in absolute knowledge of our deen. Whether we seek it or not, that's another question. But Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did anything that he possibly could to protect this deen. And because of his struggles, because of the struggles of the companions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all, we have Islam in the form that it is today. So again, does this not increase one's love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who has three characteristics will be from those who have tasted the sweetness of iman. The first characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned for those who want to taste the halawatul iman is that they should love Allah. أَيَكُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّنْ سِوَاهُمَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be more beloved to this individual than all others besides them. If you want to taste the sweetness of iman, love Allah and His Messenger, and put everyone else aside. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the second characteristic is that the person who wants to taste the sweetness of Iman, then he should seek the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And he should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and all other loves and all their other desires and all other aspirations, they come secondary. And thirdly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the third characteristic is that he should hate to return to kufr and disbelief, just like he would hate to be thrown into the hellfire. Now brothers and sisters, let me remind you of a nice parable that one of the scholars of Islam put forth. While he was in prison, one of his students came to visit him. And he said to his student, you know, usually when someone is imprisoned and he's being beaten and he's being tortured, you would imagine that there's someone who is very pessimistic and isn't optimistic at all. But to the scholar, while he was in prison, he said those words, which if we were to reflect, you would see how true they are. He said, إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةً مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَا يَدْخُلُ جَنَّةَ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed, in this dunya is a jannah. Whoever doesn't enter this jannah will not enter the jannah of the akhirah. Now many of us may think, what is this jannah that this person is talking about? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not describe this dunya as sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir? So how can this man say that there's a jannah in this dunya? Brothers and sisters, the jannah that this scholar was talking about was none other than the jannah of iman. The jannah of iman that lies in our hearts. So for those of you who have tasted the sweetness of iman in this life, by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and making them the most beloved to you, and by seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love alone, and by hating to turn to disbelief, just like you would hate to be thrown into the hellfire, these are the people who will taste the sweetness and the halawa of iman. And likewise, just like they tasted the sweetness of iman in this dunya, they will taste the fruits of their iman in the akhirah as well, by being entered into Jannah. Now not only into Jannah, but the highest of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. That indeed, those people who believe and bring iman and do righteous deeds, then Allah will bestow upon them جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to ask for. That if you ask for Jannah, then I ask for the highest of it. Ask for Jannatul Firdaus. So this is how you achieve Jannatul Firdaus, brothers and sisters, by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And one of the primary ways to increase your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is learning his seerah. Likewise, by learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn the meanings of the Qur'an. We learn how the Qur'an should be implemented. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, حينما وصفت خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وصفه بالقرآن. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, described the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his morals and his characters, she described it with the Qur'an. So if you want to see the physical implementation of the Qur'an, look to the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, this is why the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That indeed, you are of great character, you are of great morals, you are of the highest of standards. Because the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the physical implementation of the Qur'an. And what is the Qur'an? It is the very speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the very words of our Creator and our Sustainer. The one who forgives us, the one who blesses us, the one who grants us our rizq. These are the words of our Lord, Allah Jalla wa Ala. Now if you want to see how they are implemented, you look to the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describing the message or one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لِتُبَيِّنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, so that you may elucidate and you may clarify and illuminate what was revealed to them. So if you want to understand the Quran, turn to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and turn to his seerah. Many people think that it is sufficient just to have the Quran alone. But brothers and sisters, this is not the case. The Quran and the Sunnah, they came together hand in hand. One cannot stand without the other. If you were to look in the Quran and were to search, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that you have to pray 5 times a day? Or where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran that you have to read Surah Al-Fatiha in your Salah? You will not find this in the Quran. But rather you will find this in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why the Quran and the Sunnah go hand in hand. The example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quran go hand in hand. One cannot last without the other. Thirdly, another benefit from learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it lifts our spirits. Each and every one of us goes through trials and hardships. Each and every one of us goes through adversities and tribulations. Now when we look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and let us just take one primary example. If you go back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a year in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam known as Amul Huzn, or the year of sorrow. Now what exactly took place in this year of sorrow for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? In this year of sorrow, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and his uncle Abu Talib passed away in this year. And who was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha? She was the one when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first retrieved and came back from the cave, and he was anxious and he was scared. She was the one who comforted him when he said that I received revelation. She was the first one to bring Iman with him. She didn't doubt anything that he said, but rather she comforted him and consoled him. And this was at the very beginning of his message, at the very beginning of his hardships and trials and tribulations. And likewise, she supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout her life, whether it have been financially, whether it have been emotionally or morally. She was that solace the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And who was Abu Talib? He was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know, the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died at a very young age, and then his grandfather took care of him. And then his uncle, thereafter, after the death of the grandfather, he took care of him. So now imagine this individual who takes the role of your parents. He loves you as a parent loves a child. He provides for you as a parent provides for a child. You will have that emotional attachment. You will have that love. And you will have that serenity for them, just as a child has for their parents. Now imagine, in one year, both of these individuals dying. Is this not a hardship and a tribulation for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course it is. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't allow this to prevent him from continuing to spread his message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strived even harder to convey his message, even after through such hardships and tribulation. Now after we see this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is just one minor example, does this not lift our spirits that no matter what type of hardship we go through, no matter how big our trial, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got through his trials, likewise we will get through ours. This lifts the spirits of the individual. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the stories of the previous prophets in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hud in Ayah 120, when mentioning the stories of the Anbiya, he mentions how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told these stories. لِيُثَبِّتُ فُوَادَكَ, so that your heart may be stable and it may be content, and that you may know, just as those prophets and messengers before you struggled, you will likewise struggle. But just as they were successful, and they achieve their goals, you likewise, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will achieve your goals as well. So, as the stories of the previous prophets were a lesson and an example for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, likewise the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an example and is a means of aspiration and hope for us as well, if we just took the time to learn and reflect. And likewise, another benefit from learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a precise methodology, is a precise and specific methodology for obtaining Jannah. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, تَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي إِلَىٰ 73 فِرْقَةٍ وَكُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ هِيَ أَوْ وَمَا هِيَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thumma qal, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that my ummah will split into 73 sects, and all of them will be in the hellfire except for one. And the companions, being the enthusiastic individuals that they were, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is this group that will be saved? Ya Rasulullah, how can we be from these groups that will be saved? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, they are those people who are upon the path that I am upon and that my companions are upon. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us how to obtain Jannah, is telling us what that methodology should be in order to obtain Jannah, to be saved from the hellfire, and to be from those people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will intercede for on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then follow the methodology of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. For this is the path to success. This is the sabilun najah. And what was this methodology? It was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone as he should be worshipped, and calling mankind to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling them to tawheed, and calling them to the implementation of the sunnah. Now brothers and sisters, if we realize this, if we realize this simple fact that this was the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it wasn't some complex philosophy, it wasn't some hard theory, it was something very basic and simple. Calling the people to tawheed and the implementation of the sunnah, nothing else. So after having said this, will we not turn back to Allah and seek guidance? Will we not turn back and reflect upon the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. A last reason that we need to learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, as we know, in the times today, the Muslims are being attacked left, right and center. The world is trying to humiliate us and disgrace us. And one of the ways that this world tries to do so is by attacking the spirit of Islam, is by attacking those individuals whom Islam stands upon. And at the head of them is the Sayyidul Mursaleen. And not only the Sayyidul Mursaleen, but Sayyidul Bashar, the head of the messengers and the head of all of mankind, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We all witnessed and testified as to what happened in the cartoons of Denmark. And we witnessed all the riots and protests that took place. But did we ever realize and reflect that the way to counter such attacks is by teaching the people the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Muslims fail to realize that the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of the greatest mu'ajizat given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was one of the greatest miracles given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To such a degree that Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the scholars of Islam, he said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the miracle of his sirah alone, it would have sufficed him as a miracle. Now why would he say this, brothers and sisters? If you take a moment and reflect at the sirah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look how unique it is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born 1480 years ago. It's not a recent time. And look how his life and story has been preserved. From the very detail as to where and when he was born, and what was taking place in society at that time, to the very last breath, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said his last words. If you look at Sahih al-Bukhari, you will see that the very last words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are recorded lafdan lafdan, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on repeating, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la. That at the deathbed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept on saying, the highest of companions, the highest of companions, the highest of companions. These were the last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just as his last words were documented, thus was his birth. Everything from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was documented. Now take your most famous athlete, your most famous movie star, your most famous singer, or take your most famous scientist, take Einstein, take your Leonardo da Vinci's, take your Michelangelo's and your Donatello's. Now tell me, were any of their lives documented to such a degree? It is impossible. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that thus we raised your remembrance. رَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. That we raised for you your remembrance. This was one of the greatest miracles that the Muslims have for Islam. The documentation of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, another benefit. If you want to defend Islam and the Muslims, and you want to ward off the ideological attacks towards Islam, learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For not only will you be learning his sunnah, but likewise you will be learning the implementation of the Qur'an. So again, brothers and sisters, just like I asked you at the beginning of this khutbah, I ask you at its end, why is it that we shy away from learning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is it that turns us away? Now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn His Qur'an. And learn the implementation of the Qur'an. And attach our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Do we not want to taste the halawatul iman? أَلَا نُرِيدُ أَن نُعِيشَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا سَوْفَ نَعِيشُ فِيهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ بَلَا وَرَبِّي. Do we not want to live in the Jannah of this dunya just like we want to live in the Jannah of the Akhirah? Of course we do. But the only way you will achieve that is by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So learn the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will benefit you in ways you cannot imagine. And it will ward off evil from you in ways you cannot imagine. And it will guide you in ways that you cannot imagine. So brothers and sisters, take the time to learn your deen, for it is of your benefit and your benefit alone. And in ending off, I remind you of an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An order so great that He began with it Himself. And then He ordered His angels to do so when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفافة والغنى ونعوذ بك من الشر والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك ولا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقيم الصلاة